I thought it's quite daunting to stand up here, not because necessarily about speaking in front of people, but because it's like, okay, now I need to represent God. Now I'm definitely not perfect, not by any stretch of the imagination. And my wife would know that. She always tells me, Stephen, you need to love people. So I've got a little bit of road rage. Just a slight little bit. Taxis and cars and so go into detail, but she sees all of that. Anyway, God's working on me. But representing God and God's word, that is quite daunting. Like, and what we, and getting here, and I just realized, like, getting to this place, there's no glory in standing here, believe me. It is, God's going to keep me account to every word that I say and ministers. But it's just a thought that went through my head. And something that was really nice for me that stood out. Just this morning, before we started intercession, I was praying for certain things. And then in intercession, people were starting to pray those things. And Retief even quoted a scripture that I was going to talk about in the sermon. And I'm like, yes, yes, Lord. And then in worship comes and the peace of God comes. I don't know who experienced the peace of God, but I definitely did. And I'm like, yes, Lord, how do you speak after that? How do you speak after, like, God's presence just filling a place? But God wants us to speak. So I'm speaking about spiritual maturity today. I had this cool topic on my heart. I was like, yes, Lord, I was amped for this thing. And then God was like, huh, you're not going to speak about that. So I had a word prepared about 2 months ago already, and then he said, no, spiritual maturity. And I'm like, oh, seriously, Lord, I had cool scriptures and everything. And then he goes and, yeah, exactly. And then he goes and tells me, no, you need to speak about this thing, spiritual maturity. So yesterday I was going for a haircut, and I had a beard trim because I needed to look neat for today. Not pretentious at all. But so now I'm driving in the car. I'm like, I was about a half an hour early. I was like, okay, let's I went to McDonald's, got a Egg McMuffin meal. So I like Egg McMuffin meals. It's not healthy, but I do like it. But sitting there, and I was like, and just like quiet and in rest. And then I started to think, something in my heart started to stir about the gospel. And now I know what's coming, and the thought comes up, pray that you can share the gospel today. This now yesterday. I'm like, I don't really want to pray this, Lord, because I know my heart's afraid and I'm not an evangelist. It doesn't come natural and blah, 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 blah. So then quietly I'm like, okay, Lord, just give me opportunity to share the gospel today. And then just the hairdresser that cut my hair asked, what are you going to do today? So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to prepare a kind of preek for today. Well, you asked. So that was a small thing. And then when I went to print this, went to do my printouts at the Postnet. So the guy obviously saw my slide, spiritual maturity. He was like, what do you want to print? And then we just started to chat because he was like playing, looking like he was playing drums, and he had a like a beat. And I was like, oh yeah, do you play drums? He's like, no, I suck at drums, but I play a little bit of acoustics. And then we started chatting because I also play a little bit of guitar. And anyway, it turns out the guy also knows God, and I was speaking about playing guitar and writing songs, and sometimes God wanted to use us to write songs to play over people and prophesy over people. But it was just like such a cool moment of conversation, just about God. Simple. I was like, okay, Lord, that was part of the gospel for today. Simple prayer. So the first question, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Thanks. I just want to ask this one. What would Jesus say to you now? This is the thought that I had yesterday while I was sitting eating my McDonald's. What would Jesus say to you now? Just have a moment, think about it. So what he told me is rest. Simply just said, rest. And things that have started to go through my head is, yes, the gospel is actually so simple. such a simple thing, and we overcomplicate it. Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. He died on the cross. And things that went through my head was like, it's so like having a peanut butter brewiki in the house as a meal with someone with his love is way better than having this fierce mall where there's like strife, just things in my heart that started to come up. And because I also grew up, there was a brokenness in my home, and part of my salvation, my testimony, is that God gave me a lot of peace in it. And the next thing, it's all just introductory thoughts. This is just the process that I went through yesterday, going through my mind. And what is spiritual maturity? What is it really? And in the process of the last two weeks or so, God just gave me this picture, this beautiful bowl of like stew and food, and it's like it smells good. I don't know if you've had it, and it has like potatoes in, it has vegetables in, it has meat in. And God gave just this picture of that is what it is. That's what maturity is. It's like this wholesome bowl of everything that you need. It is not a chocolate cake or a milkshake. It's this good bowl of food that I have. Egg McMuffin, exactly. That fills you, but it fills your body, and it's good. It has vitamins and all these lovely things in it. So that, just want to keep that picture in your mind. And go to the next slide. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So this is a question you need to raise your hand. This is not about condemnation or whatever. I just want to see where your hearts are and what we want to pray for you. And the question is just, who in this week, who has entered God's rest? Because for you, raise your hands. We can spend time with God. We can read Bible. We can worship. We can do all these things religiously, but we don't rest. We don't have that place of peace and real rest with God. So I just quickly want to ask the question, who has really entered God's rest this week? Okay, cool. Very few of us. Okay, that's good. So I'm preaching the right sermon. Now the next question is, how do we diligently enter God's rest? Now this is an interesting thing, because probably the last 4 or 5 months, this is what God has been speaking about. You need to be obedient in entering my rest. Then I'm like, Lord, what does this entering your rest really means? Because it doesn't make sense to my practical, purpose-driven mind that just wants to have a purpose. So in my relationship with God, the biggest challenge I have is he can tell me to go pray for Ralph. Then I would get up and I would go pray for Ralph. But then he's like, no. When he tells me to come spend time with him, then I'm like, okay. And I read Bible and do all of that, but it's sort of like, okay, creak, creak. Now, Lord, give me a purpose. If you give me a purpose, I will go do that, and I will go follow that. And the simple thing for me is like, rest in me and know me. That place of face-to-face relationship. That deep place. And the last couple of days has been beautiful, because I've just been experiencing this peace. Like a rest and a peace. And it's like, okay, so this is actually what it is. It's being in this place of obedience to what you want me to do here and now in the specific time. Whether you want me to read Bible, I read Bible. Whether you want me to pray, whether you actually just want me to relax and not do anything and not strive. So he's been working this thing inside of me of what is this? What is this rest? And I just want to, like as a side note, we can't do anything besides God. If we think we can do anything beside him, we are actually a little bit deceived, because God created everything. He created us. without him, we are actually pretty much nothing. He's called us in a beautiful relationship with him. And go to the next one. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give account. So more questions. Do we believe that God can change lives? Like, do we really, really believe that God's word can change lives? And it's, yeah, it's interesting. I realize in my own life, if I don't read Bible regularly, I drift. I drift a little bit further, a little bit further, further. And then when I do, come back. It's like the Bible, God's word, it keeps me clean. It keeps me close to him. It's like this continuous place where we need to be. And I've read through the Bible a couple of times. There's quite a few places where I've read quite a few times. But then when I read it, these things that I did say, I've read 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And then I'm like, look at this thing. Lord, how did I not see this? How did I not experience this the other 9 times when I read this thing? Why am I only seeing this now? And it's interesting, the season that we're in, God reveals different things to us. And then if we believe it, if we believe God's word really changes lives, changes us, do we apply it? Because it's one thing believing it, but do we apply it in our lives on a daily basis? Because ultimately, the word is Jesus, and Jesus came, and he became flesh to die on the cross. And if we don't want to know the word, how can we know Jesus? How can we truly come into his rest? And so this is, again, just another question. Are there people here struggling to spend time with God, whether it's in his word, whatever he's telling you in terms of spending time with him? Also, I'm going to ask just to raise your hand, to be honest, because I actually want to pray for this. Okay, cool. Okay, Father, thank you, Lord, that your heart is so full of joy. Your heart is so full of love. And thank you that we can just expose any lie, Lord, that you're not for us. And there's so much freedom. There's so much freedom in your presence. And we thank you, Father, for hearts, Lord, to open to your heart, to open to hearing your voice and knowing you. Because it is, first and foremost, knowing you before anything else. And you've got such good gifts. You've got such good things that you're going to show us, relational stuff that are actually so amazing. So many small things, but help us, Lord. Help us to walk the road of obedience and following you. And where there are battles and where there are challenges, I ask for freedom to come. In Jesus' name. It's like the simple question, why do we struggle to spend time with God? It's simple. We've got a flesh. The Bible talks about the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. And if I think about the last year, it's this continuous thing that I need to choose to get up and pray. When I talk about get up and pray in the evening, I'm not a morning person. It's never worked for me. I've tried to spend time with the morning in the morning many times, but it just doesn't work. But then God's like, okay, you're saying this thing, okay, but now you need to get up in the evening. And then when I tell you to pray, you must go pray. When I tell you to spend time with me, you must spend time with me. And I get it right, but I also sometimes get it wrong, because sometimes I'm disobedient, sometimes I am obedient. So it's not like standing here being perfect. I'm human. I get tired sometimes. Like 6 says, oh, Lord, you want me to pray again? I'm tired. I don't want to pray. I don't feel like praying. but then he calls us to obedience. But yet, relationally, things that I pray, that I pray for us, for them and myself, and that God shows me, and then things just happen. Like, it just happens. Like, prayer really, really works. He's a good God. Go to the next one. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who had passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Amen. That's all that I'm going to say then. Okay, the next one. There we go. That's the one. So, that's a photo of Paris. So, Dim and myself, it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, we went to Paris. So, how we got there is we sold our car. And the car was, she had this old student car, and the car was giving trouble. And I remember driving towards Table View, and then the car's wheel burst, and I just had enough. I was like, "Claw, yeah." Luckily, I was driving, and I was driving slowly when this happened, and then sold the car, and then we're like, "What are we going to do with the money? Let's go to Paris." So we went to Paris. It was random story. During like preparing the sermon, Lord's like, you need to speak about yourself. I'm like, Lord, why do I need to speak about myself? This makes no sense. And then he just gave me a word. You need to say, just stick to what I'm telling you. So just a little bit of myself. I told you I'm not a morning person. My wife can testify to that. I'm horrible. I need to resurrect myself in the morning. Some thoughts that go through my head in the morning is like resurrection life. I need to get myself up to get up for work. I don't speak in the mornings. It's horrific, really horrible. So I grew up in Somerset West. So when I was little, I was quite naughty. I don't know if I should say some of the things on the pulpit that my parents don't find out. But just basically, like I had got the wrong friends, stole stuff, stole money from people's houses with this friend, not a lot, like 5 rand. You'll take that 5 rand out of like a little devil on your shoulder. There's one friend of mine, so I did that, and then started breaking windows, throwing windows out on, I'm not going to say where, but maybe if you ask me afterwards, just like stuff. I hated school, I hated homework, I never did anything, never listened. I loved sports. Sport was my passion. That is what I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to do. Completely obsessed by it. And then high school came. So sport became my idol. It was everything. And I could do anything. I could play cricket. I could do athletics. I could play rugby. Whatever it was, it came easy. I could do too many things. But then about 16, I got quite a hectic injury in my back because of rugby, and then sort of things started to a little bit go down from there with the sport, like sport-wise, but God was busy doing something. Then by matric, because my focus, I love cricket, like cricket was my sport. That was the thing that I wanted to do pretty much with my life. So, and I was pretty decent at it as well. And then this back injury just got me. So I was out of rugby, I was out of cricket, I was out of athletics. And I remember standing next to the side of the field having concussion for the third time. And then I was like, okay, Lord, I was thinking, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to go flip and gym and I can speed a bow and I can hand for it. And then I just heard the Lord's voice clearly. And he said, if you ever play rugby again, you're going to miss the purpose and call in your life. And it was just a moment. I knew clearly this was God's voice. And I stopped and then quit rugby. And then God started the process, started working in my heart. And then by the time I dated a girl, she's like, okay, let's go to the first year's camp. just before the university started. I was like, I don't really want to go. Anyway, ended up going because she was going to go with me, but no, she didn't go with me. She went on the private camp, and I went on the she went on the res camp. I went on the private camp, which was the best thing that ever happened. And that night, I gave my heart to God. And God, I struggled from about 16 to about 18. I struggled with depression. God healed me instantly when I gave my heart to God. It was gone. I don't know why it happened this way. But the biggest thing for me about salvation, my biggest experience about what was the peace of God. Because I had no peace in my life. Zero. It was nothing. The peace of God. Then went to study. Had some challenges with my study. So God challenged me. I don't know who of you ever did nacht for exams or tests and things like that. And then I wanted to drink coffee and eat sweets and just things to keep me awake. And then God's like, no, I'm your provision. I'm your strength. I'm your everything. So I had to learn a lesson there. Like going straight through. And I remember there's three exams in a row. Just straight through everything. You don't sleep. You don't. And now you're not allowed to drink coffee. You're not allowed to keep stuff awake. And God's just like, I'm your strength. I'm your strength. But you continually hammered on that. So now I drink coffee because I enjoy it, not because it keeps me awake. I just like the taste of it. And then I did postgraduate education. I studied business management. Then I did honors. And then masters came. And then God wanted me to do this master's about church commitment in the business management department. Okay? Like, it makes no sense. So I threw angle. It took quite a challenge to get this lecturer to approve of it. Eventually, so the topic was on relationship marketing, and I was like, no, churches need people to exist, and they sit with these huge budgets. How do we get people committed to a church out of this relationship marketing point of view? And it wasn't about the master's degree. It wasn't about that at all. So every student got an email concerning this topic. And then the Atheist Society, what happened was they found out about this. And I thought they're going to be all negative about this. And they were actually like, no, please. They sent an email to all their members and said, please go fill out this survey about this thing about church commitment and God. And like, wow, this doesn't make any sense. But God was like, the whole point of that was that every student will get an email and that all could be confronted about church and God. That was the point of it. The point was not having a master's degree, because I've never used it. I'm doing a completely different thing right now. But yet God still wanted me to grow in that. And go to the next slide. Now, this is actually what I actually want to talk about. That was all introduction. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of salvation for all who obey him. And he was designated by God to be high priest. I just want to say something about tears and something that we prayed about morning. If you find yourself fighting God and even fighting tears, please don't. I remember I had a moment in the back of the church about a year ago where George is not here today. He just, in worship, came to me and he's like, can I pray for you? And I just burst out in tears. I was just going through a challenging time, frustrating time. But there's a place of healing and yielding to God that God really wants. That's just a side note. So, Jesus suffered. Like, it's clear. Like, my heart is so, like, sometimes it's so wicked. I don't want to suffer. I want to be rich. I want to be the best at, you know, whatever. That was always the goal of the university. That was always the purpose and the goal. And this place of a living God, Jesus coming down to earth, and he had to grow in submission. he had to grow in favor with God and man. And if Jesus had to do this in this place of brokenness, because the thing is with him is he knew what was going to happen. He knew the cross was coming. He knew he had to die for the sins of mankind. You know how much maturity that takes? That it's like, it is incredible. I can just imagine, like, just think how intense it was, because it wasn't just about dying or going through that physical torture. It was about the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, in that moment, considering sitting on him, redeeming everyone, redeeming all of us, of our sins, and God actually removing his presence from him. There was a moment, in that. Just it's a hectic thought. But for our lives, there is grace and there is mercy. There's lots of grace and lots of mercy that God has for us. He's got so much love and kindness for us. We must just receive it. And for many of us, God is asking, and you're going to know what it is. I don't have a clue. There are things that we need to throw out. There are things of all that we've been carrying, with us, that we need to throw out. There are things that I'm, like, with work, I'm being challenged by people blaspheming all the time. And like, yes, oh Lord, I need to step up somewhere. Like, you're challenging me in this. It's like there's a place that I need to pick up that I'm not getting right. But God really wants us to grow. It's just hard to get to know him. Next slide. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God, God's word, for all over again. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Basically, just a summarize of the scripture that we're talking about, just maturity. And I just think God was saying, we can't, if we really want to know God, if we really want to know him, we can't continue drinking milk. And I haven't got a clue what goes on in people's lives, whatever, but I know this is what God has been saying. He wants us to mature. He wants us to go from that place of drinking milk to this bowl of, it's time to eat food. It's time to eat solid food. It's time to grow. It's time to listen to what my word says and start applying it. It's time to leave those other chachachut or whatever you're doing with and to follow me. And to get to know him. But there's such a freedom in God in knowing him. And over the last 6 years, I don't enjoy my job. I've never enjoyed it. But God's placed me there for a reason. IT is the last place I ever wanted to be. I love sport. That's like, I really love sport. Big passion for sport. So now, in this position, I've gone like through these ups and downs. But there was like this dip of, just like a dip of heaviness. And I would go onto the balcony and God would just remind me, he's like, who's your eternal great reward? And I just, because I continually ask God, I want this different job. And I'm like heavy and he's like, I'm your eternal great reward. I can't say I rather want another job. I can't say that to God is, because he wants me, yeah, and he just shows me, I'm your great reward. And going through these like dips, along the line, I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision of, okay, there was times that it really, really got heavy. And I don't understand the work. And it's like, seriously, Lord, IT? And then I had to make a decision of thanksgiving and praise. As soon as I made that decision, this started to happen. Nothing changed. I'm still in this IT job that I really don't like. I pretty much hate it. And I told God recently, I will never like the job. But guess as soon as this Thanksgiving started, contentment started to happen. godly contentment started to happen. I'm not like frustrated, I'm not heavy, I'm in joy. And then this whole year, God's like, you need to start thanking me for things that you don't even have, that I want to give you, that I want to show you. And it's been more than a year that I'm thanking God for things. I don't have those things yet, but my heart's completely gone like this. Oof. I'm freedom. I've got so much freedom in front of God just by choosing thanksgiving, choosing to thank Him out of a place of deep frustration. I wish I could explain to you how frustrating the position, how Retief knows a little bit more, but it's like, yes, I cannot explain to you. It's a mini miracle that my heart is where it is right now. I'm going to go to the next one. So that's just the black and white image. Simple. How do we know which is God and which is not? Which is from God and which is not of God? Like, how do you know? Rolf? No, like, yeah, that's a simple answer. But how do you know? Absence of darkness. Okay. Absence of darkness. Okay. What does the Bible say? So, yes, He is the light. He is the light. Jesus is light. Like, I think it's John 1 that talks about the darkness has not overcome it. So just the point that I'm making between the light and the dark and what the scripture talks about, learning solid food are for those that have learned to discern. It's just basically, what does scripture say? This is the reason why we need to know scriptures, that we can discern what is of God and what is not of God. Just a practical example as a student. So God's given me the natural gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of discerning of spirits. But we're talking about the maturity. We will mature to a place where we can discern between right and wrong. And a big part of that maturity is reading the Bible. Because I've been in many, many conversations and then people say things and I'm like, yeah. The only reason why I say that is because I know what God's Word says about something. And that's why we need to know God's Word. So anyway, so I was at the church office and there was a guy speaking to one of the people that were working full-time ministry. And I was like, oh, what is this thing? Something's not right here. That guy, And I didn't know the context or whatever, and I just had this sense, I actually want to go tell this leader, like, you need to be careful. There's something off here. Anyway, long story short, I don't know what was going on. This guy ended up stalking a girl, and there was an interdict against them, like massive stuff. It was like, whoa. But it was just, the point is, like, God's Spirit just warned me about evil, like an evil or a wolf in the flock. And the reason why God wants us also to know Him and to read Scripture and to grow in maturity, so that we can know, so that we can help Rolf in his, let's say he's, I don't know, he's challenged with the situation and he's coming to you for help. And you're like, okay, Lord, how can I help Rolf? How can I discern? How can I know? What does your word say about his situation? Is it just his situation that he wants to get changed? Or is it actually, is there a spiritual dynamic? Is there a dynamic here, according to God's word, that I can help him with and say, oh, actually, this thing is spiritual. This thing I can pray with you. That person at your work, they're continually shouting, screaming, and Rolf knows a lot about that. Shouting, screaming, actually, it's a spiritual thing. It's not a normal thing. It's not anything that you have done, but it's actually a spiritual thing, because God wants us to help people. His heart is to help people. His heart is for us to know what is right and what is wrong. But the whole point of this is we need to spend time with God, because we've been called into the world. We've been called into the world to preach the gospel. Even though it's challenging, I put my hand up first. It's very challenging. I can go to the next one. So the ushers can... you can start handing out the communion. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. We did this in the week during Mad Communion in the week in small group. And sometimes in my head, I'm like, I want to see like amazing miracles happen when you have communion and people's lives being changed. And like, it's just groot gebeur. But that's not the point of it. It's just to remind ourselves what Jesus did, because we forget. We forget what he's really done in our lives. And I've been knowing God since I've been saved for about 14 years. And we forget where we've come from. We forget that Jesus delivered me of depression. Jesus delivered me of so many different things. But it's also just a remembrance of ourselves, what he's busy doing in our lives. And when I finished handing out, I want you not to have communion on your own, but to pray with someone that you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable, that's fine. You can have it on your own, but then to pray with each other. It doesn't matter what you pray for. If you have a prayer need, just ask the other person to pray for something specific. Because I believe communion is something that we do together. And God's church and design was always designed for community, for this togetherness. Can you maybe lost the slide or opposite? So this is just a picture of a baobab tree. So when I was a baby, somebody prophesied this over my life, that I'm going to be like this tree and its branches are going to reach out to people. I was sort of not negative about it. I was like, Lord, couldn't it be like a bigger, taller Amazon tree, like this movies thing that goes like just into the sky, like insanely high, 100 meters, but that's just my heart. But I just realized, looking at this thing now, my heart's like, yes, I understand. God desires this, that those trees. There's a tree in Namibia apparently that grew up to 1,200 years old. But the whole point of it is God desires maturity and strength. And one of the characteristics that this tree has is that it retains water and the animals eat from its bark. And that's interesting. And I was just thinking, water, living water. Jesus speaks about living water. He is the living water. And that's what he wants. He wants us to grow in maturity. He wants us to grow strong so that the animals can come nest in this tree, but so that people can come to us for the answers, whether it's in work, whether it's at home, whether it's in our marriages. Doesn't matter what it is. Like, we are supposed to have the answers. But more beyond that, not because of us, because of Jesus, because we have the Spirit of God, because we can discern what is between right and wrong, because we know Him, because we know His Word, because we spend time with Him. And then the fruit that comes out of that is joy, love, peace, miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe one of the reasons, like, we desire signs and wonders and miracles, but do we pray for people that are sick? Do we pray for people that need healing? Do we do it on a regular basis? Do we spend time with God? I'm reading through Acts at the moment, and there are miracles there, and it's so simple. It's just, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That's it. Not like three-hour prayers. They just literally look at the guy that's lame. He's like, give me your hand, stand up. I'm like, yes, sir, Lord. Where are we missing this? Overcomplicating things. Okay, so does everybody have... Okay, so quickly, just pray with someone. But really intentfully. If you want to stand up, move around, please do, quickly. anything. So have communion together, and if there's a need, pray for each other. Let's see, there's one or two more finishing up. Something that I have said a couple of times in our small group over the last while is, if you want to chat, if you have a need, please come chat. If you want to, there's lots of people in the church, there's lots of people, like, I'm open. Some have accepted that invitation, but the point is, you're not alone. No one of us have been called alone in isolation, and God wants us to be in community, in accountability. But if you're just struggling and want to chat and want someone to pray with you, please do. Organize a coffee. Ek is oop, by means is oop. Let's just ask. So Father, just thank you, Lord, for thank you for your heart of love, and thank you for your incredible heart of love for us. Thank you, Father, for this thing that you want us to grow into. You want us to grow and get to know you. Because there's so much more that you want to show us. There's so much more, Lord. And we thank you for your presence and what you did in worship today. And that you're still going to do in each and every person's life. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. That really spoke to my heart. I'm going to also close in prayer. This is something that there's two things that really stood out also for me, and one of them is that thanksgiving. I think it's maybe a prophetic word, a rhema word for me. And I want to encourage you, just as he said, that whatever you face, the best weapon to fight discouragement is thanksgiving. It's to turn around and thank God for whatever it is that you're facing and have been going through. I've seen that countless, and I know Stephen's testimony of his job. Maybe Demi knows it a slight bit better, or have heard it a slight bit better. But I could really see the change which it has brought in the maturity in his life. That's the one thing. And then, very simply for me also, and I agree with what he said, is that immaturity is to give up prematurely. That's what immaturity is. That childishness, not childlike. We're called to be childlike, not childish. And I want to encourage all of us. I don't know the season. That's definitely the season I'm in. Is that the enemy would love some of us to immaturely give up too soon before it's the end. But that's the beauty of God. So some people in this church have really faced massive things this year. But please know, maturity knows that it's not the end of the story yet. That's the ultimate thing. That is the gospel. It's not the end yet. There's a good Father that knows the end, exactly as Stephen said. And I'm just quickly going to pray into that, that we'll be a people that do not immaturely give up whatever the season you're in. Or whatever you're facing. So thank you for the word and season, Stephen. I'm just going to pray that, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this word for me and for us, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you call us to maturity in that we, not as it is in our culture, Lord, that we run for the quick fix, we run for what is easy and maklik and lekker and finnig and kits, but that we know, in trusting the goodness of God and His Lordship, that we do not give up too soon. And Lord, whoever that word is for this morning, that are challenged to give up prematurely, to give up before the end of the race, Lord, I pray that you grace them in this moment. I pray that you grace them with, as Stephen said, Lord, spiritual maturity, to know that this is not the end. I cannot see the end. I cannot even experience, or I don't fathom an end coming, but I trust in God's goodness. I become mature, and I know that the end is in His hands. And the end in God's hands can only be good because we trust His character. Orphe said a couple of weeks back, Lord, even if I don't see your hand, I trust your heart. Even if I don't see your hand, I trust your heart. May this be true of this church. May this be true in the tough seasons when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. May we trust your heart even though we don't see your hand. And may we be a mature people that do not give up prematurely in any season of life. And as you grace us with that, by your Spirit today, please grace our children, Lord. Be with them that they become people of maturity, Lord. Trusting your word, walking by faith and not by sight. Trusting in the character and the goodness of God because they know him relationally, as Stephen said, in Jesus' name. And by faith, all of God's people said, Amen.